Live from 95.9 WATD, this is the Midday Report.
75 degrees outside our South Shore studios at 12.02. This is the WATD Midday Report with news, sports, weather, and a look at Wall Street. Good afternoon, I'm Christine James. Now here's what's happening. A candlelight vigil held in Quincy last night to support people of color who were victims of police brutality, and WATD's David Cedrone was there.
Over 1,000 people filled downtown Quincy Tuesday night, right around 6 p.m. The group Black Lives Matter started the vigil in the name of George Floyd and others who have lost their lives due to police violence. Black Lives Matter group member Sue Doherty organized the candlelight vigil. She spoke to the crowd and said she did it because she feels Quincy does not represent their diverse community enough, and the vigil was not about being against the police.
Over 40% of the residents of Quincy are people of color. They're not represented in City Hall. In the pictures, I'm like, what does that mean? You know, so for everything from City Hall to being killed by police, this is what it's about. It's not about being against the police. It's against police killing unarmed people unjustly and getting away with it. So anyway, that's why we're here tonight.
City Quincy Councilor Brian Palmucci also spoke with the crowd and says he will not accept violence against anyone based on the color of their skin.
All of us are sad that in the year 2020, we need to hold up signs that say Black Lives Matter. It is a sad state of affairs in America when we need to do that. We all stand in solidarity tonight to say that Black Lives Matter, that violence against somebody based on the color of their skin is wrong, and we will not accept it in any community.
The vigil ended with the crowd marching down Hancock Street past all the boarded-up storefronts with the Quincy police on bikes in front of the march. People holding signs reading Black Lives Matter, I Can't Breathe, and George Floyd. The night ended without any arrest, violence, or looting. In Quincy, David Cedrone, WATD News.
Close to 1,000 people gathering for a peaceful protest at the West Middle School in Brockton with a message of justice, unity, and community. WATD's Lenny Rowe files this.
Pastor Orlando Harris of the New Life Christian Church led a chant, Champions of Peace, as nearly 1,000 residents gathered at the West Middle School in Brockton for a peaceful protest. After the death of George Floyd in Minnesota police custody and incidents around the country, some wanted to start the conversation towards change. Deja McCottrell, one of the organizers, says they wanted a different kind of event.
The message I want to get across, it's not just black versus white, and it's not just us versus the cops. It's everyone versus racism. And instead of it being us versus them, it should be us and them. And I just want everybody to stand together in unity and stand as one and remember that we are all one, you know, and that's what I want. That's the bigger picture. And I think people forget that sometimes, but I want to remind people like, hey, there's a bigger picture here. It's not just about, you know, the small stuff matters, the little details matter, but remember why we're doing all this. Remember why we're speaking on this.
Brockton Mayor Robert Sullivan took a knee with protesters and chanted Floyd's name with them.
We're known as the City of Champions. This is reflected today in the citizens, law enforcement. Everyone understands that it's through sharing of ideas that we're going to get to the level that we need to get in this country and this Commonwealth.
Just before sunset, about 100 people calmly protested in front of the police station before dispersing. This was before protests turned violent that night, with rocks and fireworks thrown at police and tear gas fired into crowds. In Brockton, Lenny Rowe, WATD News.
And Brockton's mayor said he was honored to participate in last night's peaceful protest, but expressed dismay at the violence that broke out later in the evening.
We listened. We sought their comfort and guidance. It was peaceful, respectful. That's what it's about. I concur that we need change. That was a blatant murder of Mr. George Floyd in Minnesota. And change is coming, change is needed. But change can't happen through violence. We have to look to Dr. King. Many years ago, what Martin Luther King said, we come together in peaceful demonstration, but you have to be a good listener. That's the only way change is happening in the city of Brockton and the Commonwealth.
And Sullivan said that officers were injured.
Rocks were thrown, bottles were thrown, fireworks were shot at the law enforcement. Several Brockton police were injured by rocks. There were several arrests for assaults, but that's the information I have at this time.
And outline damage also occurred throughout the city, including a Dunkin' Donuts events that sustained fire damage.
District Court on Main Street, glass was broken, right? Ideal Pawn Shop, a business in Brockton, was damaged. This wasn't just broken. This was arson. A fire was set here. There's a reward stated in the corner there. So damages throughout. But I guess the good news is that there was not grave bodily injury to anybody. Thank God.
Sullivan says he will be meeting with business leaders to discuss repairs and rebuilding. Meanwhile, in Braintree, they have emphasized again a commitment to diversity and inclusivity. Joining me now live on the South Shore's Midday Report, we have Mayor Charles Koukouros. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. You know, here in Braintree, there's no place for hate, racism, and injustice, as well as our country. So, you know, I'm committed to continuing the fight against injustice and truly maintaining the high standards of ethics and integrity that our community expects and deserves.
Absolutely, and I know that we've been checking in, too, and during what a time for all this to happen while we're in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic. I saw yesterday with the latest Board of Health information, I know Braintree has been hit hard by this pandemic, but there were, I believe, zero cases reported yesterday?
Yesterday we had no new cases, and we did not have any additional deaths. I mean, our total right now is 851 folks have tested positive in Braintree for COVID-19, and we've had 90 unfortunately, 90 folks have passed from the pandemic, but we are definitely heading in the right direction. Our numbers are very strong as far as the shift and going down, and we know as things begin to reopen, we're going to see somewhat of a spike, but we are hoping that we can maintain those numbers. And based on the contact tracing that's set up, through the new rules in regards to businesses, we'll be able to track things through businesses if someone is infected and happens to go to a business. So there's some really good controls put in place for us to keep and track all of the data as far as the spread as it might begin to spike. So we have those things in place.
Again, that's Braintree Mayor Charles Koukouros. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Just scooting past 12:09 here at 95.9. That means time to check traffic. Let's check in now with Jeannie Grant. Jeannie?
Thank you, Christine. Well, it's not a bad ride. Starting on 128 South, you are seeing some delays due to a left-lane work crew at the Mass. Rhode Island state border. On Route 3 on the southbound side from the Braintree split to the Sagamore Bridge, you're looking at a 38-minute ride through there. On Route 24 North from Padelford Street out to Route 93, a 23-minute ride. The expressway from the Braintree split to the O'Neill Tunnel, a 9-minute ride into the city and a 10-minute ride leaving the city. And your Cape roads are okay. Traffic on the nines every morning. I'm Jeannie Grant, WATD Traffic Center.
A Weymouth man was one of two people arrested during protests last night in Boston. Boston police say 34-year-old Cameron Gosselin charged with assault and battery on a police officer. Second arrest, 25-year-old Elliot Ficklin of Boston, who's being charged with breaking and entering a commercial building. Thousands of people took part in the protest, which included a die-in before marching across Franklin Park. Beyond the two arrests, police reported no violence or unrest as protesters began to disperse. Democratic U.S. Rep. Ayanna Pressley and other elected officials of color in Massachusetts outlined a series of steps Tuesday they say is needed to confront systemic racism. They spoke in front of the State House after a week of protests sparked by the death of George Floyd. The group pushing a series of policy steps, including a resolution filed by Pressley and other lawmakers in the U.S. House meant to condemn police brutality, racial profiling, and excessive use of force. Group also looking for limits on police use of chokeholds and other tactics known to have deadly consequences. Well, the town of Plymouth holding a vigil to confront racism in memory of George Floyd and others killed, but it will be in a different way than had been originally planned.
We were planning to have a peaceful community silent vigil at Brewster Gardens, but because of safety concerns for the public, that has been relocated to PAC TV. And we're going to have a virtual vigil.
That's chair of the Plymouth No Place for Hate group, Barbara Aharoni, who says the decision was made after Plymouth Police Chief Michael Boteri reached out voicing public safety concerns about the event. So instead, it will be held on PAC TV.
It's going to start at 6:30 p.m. in memory of George Floyd and of all the other victims of violent racial hatred. And it will be broadcast on the community channel Comcast 13 or hour of Verizon 43, the Plymouth Channels, and it will be live streamed on PAC-TV's Facebook page.
The event will feature guest speakers and is sponsored by the Plymouth No Place for Hate Group, League of Women Voters, the Patriots of Indivisible Plymouth, and the Plymouth Police Department. Well, school superintendents across the Commonwealth sharing a conference call with the state's Education Commissioner Tuesday. Plymouth School Superintendent Gary Maieste shared some of the discussion with the Plymouth Select Board Tuesday night, as our Charles Mathewson reports.
According to Maieste, public schools would offer both in-person and online education in the fall. What percentage of students would take the bus remains uncertain. Also uncertain, who would pay for masks for in-school students or additional equipment for in-home students and other expenses? This as deadlines for school year preparation begin June 15th. Here's Maieste.
I was very disappointed in the call because there was not a lot of clarity as to what is going to be expected, and it was just full of a level of rhetoric that indicated that direction would be forthcoming, which for us, we're planners, we have to make some level of indication how we're going to move forward, which is somewhat frustrating. I think the collective voice that communities are having for the Commonwealth and actually for the U.S. Department of Education to step up and help communities to deal with these mandates that will be imposed on school districts.
In Plymouth, Charles Mathewson, WATD News.
And 12:15 here on 95.9, we're going to go to Governor Baker now. He's speaking at the State House.
Offering kindness and supporting one another when it's needed most. That's the kind of leadership this country needs. The country needs empathy, not hostility. The company needs to heal, not fracture. And here in the Commonwealth, we plan to continue to talk, listen, and push progress forward. And now I'd like to talk a little bit about the latest public health data and the reopening policies we're working on to support our Commonwealth for phase two. We have some new health and safety protocols for the sectors of the economy that will reopen next. Massachusetts has now conducted over 600,000 COVID-19 tests. Around 5% of the tests reported yesterday came back positive. In mid-April, 27% of the cases were coming back positive every day. And this is a drop of 77% in positive tests since the beginning of May. This is obviously a very significant drop and an important piece of data that we're paying close attention to. And as of yesterday, 1,657 patients were hospitalized due to COVID-19. As another way of thinking about that fact, the three-day average of the number of patients that are hospitalized for COVID-19 has dropped by 50% over the past 30 days. These positive trends in the public health data are the primary indicators of how COVID-19 is impacting our communities, and it will continue to determine how and when we pursue measures associated with our reopening program.
You've been listening to a little bit of Governor Baker from the State House today, giving not only a COVID-19 update, but also talking a little bit about what happened last night. Again, the audio cut off a little bit from the State House, talking about this is a time for healing and compassion, and a thank you out there to all the people that raised their voice peacefully, and for all the first responders that had to step in when some of the protesters turned violent and aggressive. That was mainly in the city of Brockton. There were some other areas as well. In our local coverage area, Quincy was peaceful, even though there were over 1,000 people there. But I did talk about this is the time for healing and compassion. Now, when he talked about COVID-19, they talked about the numbers were going down. The goal is to expand testing, including an additional 20 sites by July for more of the outlying areas. Wednesday, today, is typically when they release updated numbers from the Department of Public Health, so we'll be taking a look at those as well. We'll keep you posted with everything that we have here about the pandemic and, of course, with the ongoing protests and gatherings here in this part of the state. And they're all talking about, as you know, talking about racial inequality, injustice, and all triggered by the death of George Floyd. And you can check out our website and Twitter feed. We've got information on pretty much everything that's been going on in the area. Meanwhile, Norwell's selectmen tonight discussing the fiscal year 2021 budget. When they meet, Dan McCready has more on that story.
Town Administrator Peter Morin tells WATD News they will be looking at spending 1/12 of the budget in June.
It's my intention to recommend to the board that it only be for this month, that I think that given the guidance on group gatherings, public gatherings that the state has issued, that they would be appropriate with social distancing in mid-July, that the town would be able to have a town meeting in mid-July, and we would only have to use this process for 1 month, and you know, subsequent months could be handled by a budget passed at town meeting.
Morin also says that he will be giving a report to the board that will discuss reopening.
We're going to be talking a little bit about how restaurants and other businesses will be reopening and how the town can assist in that process, dealing with signage, expediting permitting, things that the board is allowed to do with liquor licenses and expansion of outdoor services that can help restaurants get back on their feet after having been closed for several months.
Tonight's meeting will be called to order at 5:30 with information about remote participation available on the town's website, townofnorwell.net. Dan McCready, WATD News.
And this just in via the Plymouth Police Department. They've said that the Patriots for Indivisible Plymouth will be holding a peaceful family vigil tonight at 6:30 in Brewster Gardens. The event scheduled to end at 7:30. The police department will be participating in the event as well as providing security for the entire downtown and waterfront area. They say you will see several officers throughout the area during the vigil. They said, while we know that some radical agitators have been known to infiltrate these types of events in order to cause damage and injury to property, we have no specific intelligence that they will be in attendance. They say, although we do not expect these radical groups to attend, we'll be ready to deal with them if they do. Please feel confident that officers from the department, and that's Plymouth, as well as several other agencies, stand ready to protect businesses as well as residents throughout the downtown and waterfront area. Should you see anything that concerns you, please call the police department immediately. And that was sent from Plymouth Police Chief Michael Boteri. We've got sports right after this. Taking a look at sports, Celtics coach Brad Stevens says he supports the decision of several of his players, including Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, and Enes Kanter, who've taken part in recent protests following the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis. Stevens says he wrote a letter to his players letting them know he was with them and that he hopes recent demonstrations around the country can help lead to healing and create sustainable change. Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame considering new dates for the induction of its star-studded class of 2020. Hall President John Dolvay says dates to replace the postponed August ceremony include mid-October and next spring, with Kobe Bryant due to be enshrined posthumously. It's certain to be a big event. Kevin Garnett and Tim Duncan, also members of the induction class, so is college coach Eddie Sutton, who died last month. The Hall in Springfield, Massachusetts, also getting ready to unveil its completely renovated museum. We'll be back. We're going to check in with Rob Gilman. He's got your latest forecast.
Thank you. Good afternoon. On the warmer side, as more moisture is moving our way, clouds and sunny breaks near 80 degrees. It can be a stray shower around, especially into this evening, and overnight patchy fog, humid in the low 60s. Tomorrow, the pick of the week for your outdoor plans, a real beach day along the South Shore. Plenty of sunshine, lower humidity, a high of 82, 74 right at the coast. Friday, the humidity makes a return. It's going to turn very hot as well as sunshine breaks through the clouds, a high of 86 just away from Cape Cod, a thundershower around overnight. Saturday, a shower or two, the high 79. For the WATD Midday Report, I'm meteorologist Rob Gilman.
74 degrees outside our South Shore studios. We'll be back to check the numbers on Wall Street. U.S. services sector shrank for a second month in May as the coronavirus pandemic triggered shutdowns and layoffs around the country. The Institute for Supply Management said today that its service sector index stood at 45.4 in May. That's up slightly from an April reading of 41.8. Any reading below 50 signals that the service sector, where the majority of Americans work, is in contraction. The April decline broke a string of more than 10 years of expansion in the services sector. Just before the top of the hour, the Dow Jones Jones Industrial Average up 417 points at 26,159. NASDAQ Composite Index up 58 at 96.66. And the S&P 500 Stock Index up 36 at 31.16. That's local news. I'm Christine James on behalf of the entire WATD News Team. Thank you so much for listening. Sending you back now to Audrey Constant right here, 95.9 WATD.